Okay, so I'm speaking a little bit quietly because I'm actually in an airport in Hong Kong on the way to Australia for Tisha B'Av. So I don't want to disturb other people nearby. I'm sitting by the gate, and actually there's someone right next to me who is FaceTiming with her, I don't know, mother or something, very loudly. So anytime you're in an airport, public area, try to be mindful of other people's space and not to speak in a way that would inconvenience them or invade their own much-needed quiet and privacy. So I'll talk a little bit lowly, but I am assuming that most people will be able to hear my mouth is right next to the phone. So this is a series. I'm trying to make sure the series keeps going. So this is only installment number 3. I don't know how many more I'll be able to get around to recording. The first base of Mikdash. What went wrong in the first base of Mikdash? It feels much more remote. The second base of Mikdash, that's the period we know about. That's the period of Josephus. That's the period of the Romans, the period of the Greeks, Greek philosophy, Rome's Christianity. Well documented. We know the trauma that the Jews faced. Hanukkah, the destruction, the Saruge Malchus. First base of Mikdash seems just very, very far off. Obviously, it's in Tanakh, but Tanakh is very cryptic and coded, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't study Tanakh in today's world. So even the one sefer that can grant us access to the comings and goings and the events and tragedies of the first base of Mikdash is not that familiar to many people. What went wrong? What were the failures? Why was the first base of Mikdash destroyed? And again, I keep stressing, aside from the obvious, Chazal speak about a complete moral breakdown, sexual promiscuity, murder, avodah zarah, all those things Chazal place on the books, and we shouldn't ignore them. Sometimes we over-glorify the past, and we try to revise the past, but it was a very sad period. But there are some additional elements on the margins, but still important. And today I'd like to talk about two psukim, a pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Zayin, and a pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Chaf Beis. The pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Zayin, pasuk Dalet, says as follows. Yirmiyah was, of course, the one Navi who stands up to this public groundswell. Most Nevi'im, as I mentioned in the first year in this series, were merely yes people, assuring the people that the merry party could continue, that there would be no consequences. But Yirmiyah stands tall. Yirmiyah defies them. Yirmiyah challenges. And of course, he's incarcerated for it, almost killed. So Yirmiyah in Perek Zayin says, "Al tiftechu lechem es al divrei hashekar lemor." We'll listen to all these lies, self-scripted narratives, self-deceit, lies from prophets. Don't listen to them. Lay more, and don't say, while you're lying and trying to justify and trying to deflect all these warnings, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Hema. Very interesting. Many people who don't know Yirmiyah would be shocked to find such a pasuk. I'll repeat it again. Don't listen to these lies and tell yourself, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. Don't listen to the lies, don't tell this to yourself, or don't listen to the people shouting these lies. Very interesting pasuk. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. Heichal means the Beis HaMikdash. Evidently, people become too confident. In an age of supernaturalism, in an age of prophecy, in an age of Beis HaMikdash, in an age of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so present and palpable, there's a danger. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our partner, and we're cozy with him, we've got an intimacy, we're good friends, we're living in such close proximity and daily interaction. Beis HaMikdash, we may fail, we may degenerate, but we have Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash and its merits and its role in history and its cosmic function, that's immunity. That will grant us immunity. That will deflect, or that will neutralize whatever threats, whatever dangers. We can behave however we'd like. Danger of overconfidence. Danger of, it's hard for us again because we're most of us, I assume most people listening in English as well, we have a gullus mentality. So the gullus mentality is survival, tenuous, sensitive, vulnerable, susceptible. We don't have this confidence in Jewish survival, obviously long term, but in the immediate sense of Jewish survival. So we don't have this security blanket that we fall back upon. But they did. And I'm mentioning this year because a lot of us today do fall into a similar modality. And to appreciate the modality, let me read the second pasuk from Yirmiyah. This is not from Perek Zayin. This is from Yirmiyah Perek Chaf Beis. Eretz, 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 Shimi, Dvar Hashem. Eretz, 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 Shimi Devar Hashem. Now, in Perek Chaf Beis, Yirmiyah is talking. In Perek Zayin, Yirmiyah is paraphrasing these cynics or these delusional people. But many, including the Radak, assume that there's some parallel between the two. And Yirmiyah is not just addressing the land, but he's framing his mussar and his criticism based on people who just like they say, Hecha Hashem, Hecha Hashem, Hecha Hashem, they'll exclaim, Eretz, Eretz, Eretz. We're living in Israel. We have our land. We have our sovereignty. It's miraculous. Prophecies are being fulfilled. It's never like that. And you can't bank on the will of Hashem. You can't gamble. And I've said this before, there are two trajectories. There's the immediate trajectory, and then there's the large wholesale trajectory. Just like when it comes to Bechira Chavshas, everyone's got that immediate freedom of choice, but of course there's a larger predetermined historical arc, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculates and creates algorithms for human choices to create some long-term predetermined terminus and conclusion. The same thing with Geula. We're back in Eretz Yisrael, and obviously this is the beginning, and whether you get wrapped up in terminology of Reshit Tzmichat Geula Teinu or not, but it could take 20 years, it could take 200 years, but obviously something is shifting in history. The millions of Jews are returning, the emergence of the Jewish nation, but to parlay that to cockiness and self-confidence and a sense of immunity and invulnerability because we're back, and it's very dangerous, and there could be chas v'chalila, chas v'shalom. Some very difficult periods if our behavior doesn't merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence and Hashgacha. Now, how will that jive with the long-term sense that we're back and that Geula is on the horizon? Well, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pretty good at math. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took calculus, and he's able to calculate different layers, and even though there may be significant and dramatic and traumatic shifts in the immediate history, somehow that will still resolve itself, but it could resolve itself hundreds of years later in a final redemption. So I think that these two psukim in Yirmiyah, Perek Zayin and Perek Chaf Beis, Perek Zayin, they're shouting, Hechal Hashem, Hechal Hashem, Hechal Hashem. They're just too confident in the Beis HaMikdash to protect them. And in Perek Chaf Beis, Eretz, 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 Shimi Devar Hashem. I apologize, this is a bit of a short shiur, but I'm without any svarim, I'm just sitting at a chair in the airport waiting for my flight to Melbourne.